Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Good morning, everybody. 908 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. Yes, I'm back. And thank you so much to Mello for sitting in the air chair here for the last couple of weeks. We'll talk to Mello a little bit later on this week. But from all accounts she did did a great job. In fact, she got better as the 2 weeks progressed. Every day was a little bit better. So, again, thanks to her. Stockton as well. Stockton is here. Stockton, yeah, you're on the air, Stockton. Are you there?
Yeah, okay. It was quite the experience. I'm glad you're back, though.
I owe Stockton a debt of gratitude. He made it, honestly, without Stockton, I have no vacation. I can't go anywhere because...
And the same goes for you. Without you, I can't go anywhere. So
that's true.
There you go.
Thank you for everything you did.
It was my pleasure.
I'm back, and I'm not dead.
Hallelujah.
The sad thing was I was in the hospital... Except for the Friday before we left, Monday through Thursday, I was in, Tuesday through Thursday, I was in the hospital, and so I've actually missed, along with the 2 weeks of vacation, I missed a few days otherwise too, and that was unplanned.
But. Yeah. Well, we're just glad that you're okay and you actually enjoyed yourself. And what you've told me, it was quite the trip.
Yes, and we're going to talk a little bit about it. In fact, I'll turn Stockton down and turn Larry up. Larry Gelwix is on the phone with me. He is the travel guru, right, Larry? Guru.
Well, thank you, Andy. It's a pleasure to be a guest on your show. I've hosted the travel show for 33 years. In fact, you can hear it every Saturday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
right
here on KDXU. But the station gave me the nickname, the Getaway Guru.
Okay.
What was funny is I said, when they first started calling me that, you know, promoting the show, I don't like that. That's the cheesiest name I've ever heard. But they liked it. And there is no democracy with radio station management.
No.
You know, with the GM, there's no democracy there. But they kept it. And now even my kids call me, hey, the guru's here. So it's kind of stuck. And I now... think of it in terms of endearment, the Getaway Guru.
Yeah, well, you could have been the Travel Buddha. That might have been worse. So Getaway Guru's not too bad.
That's right. I call myself the Mahalari of travel.
Now, folks that maybe don't know much about Larry should know that he was, before he was a guru, he was coach. In fact, a very good coach, and in fact, a good enough coach, they actually made a movie about him. Larry, just real quickly, give us your history of coaching.
Well, my career has been in the airline and travel industry. I did teach high school level for 4 years, and I was the assistant varsity football coach. But I had played rugby. The game I have on authority is played in heaven. And the second most popular sport in the world after soccer. And I'd played rugby for 3 years for BYU and then played on a men's competition league. And I thought, you know, what every young man needs in his life is to play rugby. So I started up a rugby team at Highland High School, never dreaming. And then I left teaching, got in the travel business after 4 years. That was some 45 plus years ago. Never dreaming I'd coach for 36 years.
Wow.
And we had quite the team. When I retired in 2011, 418 wins and just 10 losses.
Holy smokes.
In 36 years, including 20 national championships. Well, that caught the attention of Hollywood.
Yeah.
And the studio had just been in New Zealand doing a film. A lot of films like Lord of the Rings shot down under.
Mm-hmm.
Fell in love with the game of rugby and wanted to make a major motion picture with an American story. And so the movie... Forever Strong opened in theaters coast to coast, and then went a huge international run. And it's in all seriousness, Andy, it's a humbling experience to have a movie made really about your life. And just this summer, last month, I was inducted into the Rugby Hall of Fame.
Very, very cool. And that record. I mean, equivalent to basically going 42-1 every year or something like that, or 21-0, or I mean, just phenomenal, and national championships, and I mean, that's really cool. And you've been lucky enough to be very successful as a coach. Obviously, took some skill, and then now very successful in as your as a travel guru, a guy with the radio show, that a very popular radio show that we play every Saturday. And Larry, you lead a charmed life. It's very cool.
Well, I really do. You know, and once I got in the travel business, I've always been an owner or co-owner, as I am now with Morris Columbus Travel. Which we have a wonderful office there in St. George, just off South Bluff Street.
Mm-hmm.
Gary is the vice president and manager. They're great staff. But owning my own business allowed me to continue to coach after I left teaching.
Oh, cool.
And so, again, my full-time job has been in the airline and travel industry, including time as the CEO of an airline. And now I'm so thrilled to be a part of Morris Columbus Travel. And I get to travel the world with people like you.
Yeah, it was fun, wasn't it? In fact, you know, I thought it would be kind of fun, Larry, to talk a little bit about some of the questions that arose for me being a rookie traveler, kind of a newbie,
sure.
And ask someone who's been around the proverbial block. In you, Larry, one of the first ones that arises to me, and we were talking about this off the air before we came on, how in the world are there some tricks to getting through these incredibly long flights? We flew home, and you weren't on the same flight as me, but we flew home straight from Amsterdam to Las Vegas, approximately 10 straight hours in the air. And I'm not going to lie, Larry, after about 3 or 4, I was done, and we weren't even halfway. And how do you do it? How do you do it?
You know what it's like? You know what it's like, Andy? You're on one of these long flights, and you fall asleep, you wake up and think, surely we must be close to landing. You look at your watch, you got another 6 hours to go.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to tell you what I do that I do not recommend.
Okay.
But I have a sleeping pill. It's a prescription that would knock out a horse.
Okay.
And I just take it and sleep. But the worst thing you can do, say you go to Europe, you get there in the morning or lunchtime or something, the worst thing you can do is sleep all afternoon, because then you'll be awake from midnight to 6 a.m. What I do is once I arrive, I overdose on Diet Coke. Seriously. And I stay awake. I go out and, you know, I'll take a 1 hour power nap, but I get up and I walk around. You know, but on a serious note, it's getting comfortable. I have to have an aisle seat. And I think it's a mind frame, too, is my ancestors spent months in a clipper ship and walking or a wagon.
That's true.
Coming out here. And they're sitting there in heaven saying, Gelwix, you are the biggest loser on the face of the earth.
Yeah.
You big wimp. You've got 3 movies, couple of meals and a nap, and you're home from Europe, and you're whining about it. Shut up and cowboy up.
Yeah, shut up and cowboy up. All right, next question I have for you. This was my first time to Europe, and again, we got to go on an Alma Waterways river cruise. It was pretty spectacular, but one thing that really struck me about Europe was the architecture, the buildings. They have so much, like in America, our buildings are functional. They're not built for beauty for the most part. They're built to get the job done. In Europe, and I know that a lot of these houses have been around for hundreds of years, but they were so beautiful. They took so much pride in how their house looked. And you know, they had parapets and towers and steeples and statues. And I wonder, where do we lose our way in America? How come we don't build for art as well as function?
You know, that's a great question, one that I've thought about, Andy. I think here in America, speaking generally and not specifically, that we build for function.
Yeah.
And for ease and cost and all of this. And those are important things. In Europe, it's built as part of the core and character of the community. It reflects who they are and their values, their history. And it's a very different approach with open plazas, fountains, statues, and architecture that you just want to sit there and look at all day long.
Yeah.
It's a very different, I think, community philosophy that is their architecture reflects their history, their people, and their culture. Generally speaking, ours reflects the function that we're trying to achieve.
Yeah, it kind of makes me a little bit sad sometimes when I mean, I wanted to come. I told my wife this when we got home yesterday, day before yesterday. I said, honey, I want to build like a parapet, maybe a tower. I want a statue in front of me. I want all this cool stuff after having been in Europe. And of course, you know, that feeling will fade and I won't ever do it. But man, I was so inspired by, and I'm not an art snob. I'm not a guy who goes to art galleries and spends hours, you know, what is the meaning of this blank page? You know, but it was so incredible there that even the most humble houses had a certain amount of pride in how beautiful they were.
Well, here's my suggestion for you. I'm gonna help you in this quest. Dr. Larry is here to help.
Okay.
And we're going to start easy. So rather than build the Tower of Babel or something, Andy, I want you to put a gazebo in your backyard
okay. And
sing Edelweiss, imagining you're in Salzburg with some Austrian and Swiss chocolates on a plate for your wife. We're going to start with the Sound of Music gazebo okay. In Andy's backyard, and I'll be there for your first rendition of the song Edelweiss.
Will you sing harmony with me, Gary? That would be good.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I may even do an interpretive dance.
I don't know if we want that. But
well, you got to see it to believe it.
I'm sure I do. The problem is we don't want to open that in July or August here in St. George. That would be a disaster.
No.
Yeah, we'll open maybe in December. That would be good.
Perfect. I've got a date for you.
Uh-huh.
How about January 22nd of next year?
I think we're going to be busy that day, aren't we?
We are, because that's the date. Every year, Morris Columbus Travel sponsors the Utah Travel Expo there at the Hilton Garden Inn. I believe it'll be back there, but it's one day free of charge with cruise lines, airlines, tour companies, safari companies there. You can walk in and talk to them, ask questions, and a whole variety of travel awards, free travel be given away. So mark that, Andy, January 22nd, I'm coming to your house
All right. To
sing Edelweiss with you.
In the gazebo.
Utah Travel Expo.
bring some Gouda cheese with you, will you?
Wasn't that slick
how
I slipped in that
promotion? No, that was
promotion?
Beautiful. It sounds like you've never done radio before.
Well, what can I say?
All right. Just some of the places that we saw. You know, it's funny, Larry, I've been home, 36 hours or something like that. I've been asked already three or four times, what was your favorite part of going to Europe? And as you know, being a travel expert and guru, that's almost impossible of a question to answer, because so much of it was spectacular. For me, I really loved the Heidelberg Castle. I was amazed at how big it was. The other thing that blew me away was the Cologne Cathedral. Now, Larry, people don't understand how big this thing is. And I tell people it is nearly triple the height of the Salt Lake Temple. If you can imagine that, how big this cathedral really is. And I know I it's not fair to ask you, but were there a couple of highlights that really stood out to you?
Well, I do love the Cologne Cathedral itself. It's right there on the river. You know, that cathedral, the construction started in 1248.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking 900 years ago. What's really interesting about the Cologne Cathedral is, and I got to be careful, because some of our chapels that the church I attend are just cookie cutter boring. These churches are not boring.
No.
But at the very back of the Cologne Cathedral is a crypt, and three men are buried there.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go see the crypt, and the tradition is, amongst the locals, those are the three wise men who visited Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And now whether they are or not, who knows? I just figure maybe they left Bethlehem, took a wrong left turn at Jericho, and kept going north. I don't know. But that's the story. I tell you, for me, did you go on the Rick Weir excursion?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Andy. Now, folks, Rick Weir dates back to the year 1048, I believe. By the way, that whole area, it's the Alsace region of eastern France, right on the German border, right on the bordering the Black Forest. But it was, 1097 was the date that it started. My memory's clicking in. But that area was settled by the Celtics and the Romans 2,000 years ago. Here in the U.S., Andy, we get excited for something. That's 100 years old.
It's true.
We're talking about a village with a resident population of 1,000. That's 1,000 years old, man. The town itself. Now, what they've done is they've maintained the architecture and the integrity of it. It looks today like it would have looked in the 16th century. And Disney was so impressed with Rick Weir that it was used in the movie Beauty and the Beast as the inspiration for Belle's Village. Now, Andy, if you've seen that movie, that's Belle. It looks like that, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. It's incredible. We didn't see any beasts there, although the assistant cruise director, the intern guy, looked kind of like Gaston a little bit from the movie.
Yes, but, yes. He did. Hey, did you go to Strasbourg?
I did, yeah. Strasbourg was amazing.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. And La Petite France, which is the little France. It's stepping back to the 15th century, the half-timbered buildings and the waterways. I mean, everything. What we did, and is we started in what I like to call, well, I'll be Amsterdammed. We started in Amsterdam and disembarked in Basel, Switzerland. We visited the Netherlands, France, Germany, and Switzerland. AMA Waterways is a ultra deluxe, but not stuffy. Very, very comfortable.
Yeah.
River Cruise Company. They knocked it out of the park in the dining room, didn't they?
They did. But I got to ask you about that. And that was one of the questions I was going to ask, Larry. In the United States, if we take 40 minutes, 45 minutes for dinner, that's a long dinner. In Europe, it's different. And mm-hmm. and with AMA Waterways, when you sat down, dinner was usually around 7. And maybe sometimes 6, 6:30. But if you were out of there by 8:30 or 9, you were fortunate. Dinner is a serious deal back there.
That is what they do in Europe. However, all you have to do is say, we'd like faster service. And say, but of course. And the thing that I love about these river cruises is rather than 5,000 or 6,000 people on an ocean cruise, which I very much enjoy, has a different purpose, different ports. You have about 160 to 170 people. We had 137 on our guests on the whole cruise, 100 of which were Morris Columbus Travel clients.
Utahns.
But all of your shore excursions are included, and they give you a choice of that. That's one of the things I really enjoyed. You can pick your activity level from gentle to a little more active.
One other thing that I really was impressed with. So we go about our lives, and we have some amazing stuff here in southern Utah. Angels Landing and Zion National Park and Bryce Canyon and Cedar Breaks and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. There are some amazing things that we saw that didn't – honestly, I had never heard of Rhine Falls in my life. Never even heard of it. But we went out on a boat on the Rhine River and got close to the Rhine Falls, got really close to the Rhine Falls.
Yeah.
And it was spectacular.
Yeah. Oh, and the clean air. Mm-hmm. The water has great clarity. You know, Switzerland is so clean. Germany is clean.
Yeah.
You don't see a lot of the trash. So, yeah. You know, I do love river cruising. And the Rhine, the Danube, the Seine are the popular ones in Europe. But you can river cruise on the Mekong in Asia, on the Nile in Egypt. So many choices and options.
Now, you have a special cruise coming up for Christmas. Now, this is one. Now, I didn't love the long travel, the 10-hour flight and stuff, but there is one trip that really, really sounds fantastic. And tell us a little bit about your Danube River cruise and the Christmas season.
I'll do that, but remember, Andy, your ancestors are saying cowboy up, Andy.
10
hours.
You're right.
To Europe.
You're right.
You know, and we are. And from Las Vegas, you have very convenient nonstop service to Europe. This particular one is on the Danube, Germany, Austria, and Hungary, Nuremberg, Passau, Milk, Vienna, Budapest, and others. And it's December 4th to the 11th. Now, the context is that in Europe, there's a 600-year tradition where every town, village, city, big, small, completely and totally loses their mind at Christmas with outdoor Christmas festivals. If you've been to a Dickens festival, it would rate as a 1, and these would be a 10. No disrespect to any festival. But it's not department store, Andy. It's wooden kiosks bedecked with evergreens. It's music. It's bands. It's singing. It's food. It's drink. And everything imaginable shopping. No, you're not going to buy a suit there, but things related to Christmas, things you can give, artifacts and handicrafts are there available. I am not a shopper. I am not. I don't even like to go shopping for shoes. Okay.
Yeah.
On my I've done this Christmas market several times. Last time I was there on an Alma Waterways cruise, I had to go buy a suitcase because I bought my grandkids. I'm a sucker for my grandkids, you know,
yeah.
All this stuff. So the dates are December 4th to the 11th. What's nice is you will have all of the normal, I'd say regular or sightseeing of all these ports, all these stops. But they add to it all of the Christmas markets. And Nuremberg, in my view, is absolutely the best Christmas market in all of Europe. That's where we start. So it's a one-week cruise, December 4th to the 11th, and you can contact Morris Columbus Travel. They're right there at 595 South Bluff Street, Suite 4, and just get information, no hard sell. What we did, Andy, is the same thing we did with the Rhine River cruise that you and I were on. We bought half the ship. I mean, we bought it. It's ours.
Nice.
And the discounts range anywhere from $1,000 per person to several hundred below what you can buy it directly from AMA Waterways or any other travel company.
Oh, because
we bought it. We own it. I think we just have a handful of cabins left. I think you should broadcast the Andy Griffin Show live at the Christmas markets.
That would be very cool. Unfortunately, I'm out of vacation days. It'd have to be next year. So,
but it's work.
It's work. That's right. I'm working. Maybe I can get away with it. Larry, I got to run, but thank you so much for the cruise and kind of getting us all involved and all the things that we learned about Europe. And it was a lot of fun going with you. A lot of fun making a lot of great new friends and memories.
Let's do it again. And if I could just mention. Catch the travel show every Saturday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., right here on KDXU Radio.
Let's do it. All right. Thank you, Larry. And the Travel Expo, January 22nd, right?
Yes, right there in St. George.
Perfect. Thank you, Larry. Great talking to you today.
All the best, Andy. Bye-bye. Right.
See you later. KDXU News Time is 9:32. We'll take a break when we come back. A guy who shouldn't be alive, but he is going to join us after this.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back, 9:36 on KDXU. Thank you for tuning in. Now, I talked a little bit about my trip with Larry, and you know, when you go on these trips, you hit it off with folks, and my wife and I felt an immediate connection to a couple of folks that were on the trip with us, Ralph and Carmen Lee, and Ralph was with me on the phone. Hi, Ralph. How you doing, man?
Fine. Thank you very much.
Appreciate you coming on. I really felt like we hit it off and became fast friends while on the trip, after we became friends, you and your wife told me a little story, and you know, I knew about this crime that happened 6 years ago, but I didn't put the dots together until you explained to me what happened. You are Ralph Lee Sr., the guy who was attacked at your dry cleaner shop in 2018, right?
That's correct.
Will you, first of all, people need to know, you were brutally and unprovoked attacked from behind even. You didn't even, I mean, you had barely an inkling that even someone was there, and all of a sudden you were on the ground and, you know, almost unconscious. And tell us about what happened.
Well, it was July 4th, 2018, and people always say, well, what are you doing working on July the 4th?
Yeah.
So, well, we had painters coming in the next day. So I was over there putting plastic out and covering the machines. And, you know, I was prepping the painters to come in and paint. And it was, around 3:30, 4 in the morning.
Wow. And by the way, people, you usually go in at that time. That's like not like an unusual time for you at all, is it?
No, that's my regular time.
Okay.
But every day almost. So anyway, it was a hot, you know, 4th of July, like every 4th of July.
Yeah.
So I rolled up the big back door in the back, you know, let a little fresh air in, turn on the air conditioning. And I was walking in towards the bathroom, which is in the back of the store. And I had this feeling. Haven't you ever felt like somebody's watching you?
Yeah,
or standing
definitely.
Behind you.
Yeah.
So I'm standing now in the bathroom. I turn around, and there's a man in the doorway. And that's before COVID. You know, nowadays everybody wears a mask, I think, just for the style or something. But,
yeah.
But back then, a man standing there with a mask on, you knew you were in big trouble. And I just had a quick glance at him. I turned around, and I could see him. And he was a white man, had his mask on. But immediately I was struck in the head.
Wow.
I thought it was a baseball bat, but during the investigation, police officers went to his home, and they found one of those, I'm not sure how you say it, batons.
Like a nightstick kind of thing?
Yeah, that's what I used to call them, nightsticks, there at his home. So maybe that's what he hit me with. I didn't get a real good look at what came down on my head.
Wow.
But he struck me on the left side from my left eye on back towards the back of my head. It was such a hard blow that, I mean, I was out of it. I couldn't fight. I couldn't run. I couldn't do nothing.
You had zero time. Basically, you didn't even have time to put your hand up.
No, I didn't have time to defend myself or anything. I couldn't run, because I was in the bathroom, and it's a small room, and it has, you know, four walls, and he's standing in the door. So I went down, and, I can't really remember a whole lot of this, because the terrific pain, my skull was fractured.
Wow.
Along the left side. And it has split the skin wide open along there, so you could look down and see my skull.
Wow.
And anyway, the blood was splattering all over the place, all over the walls and floor, and I guess I had woke up a little bit, and I could feel somebody trying to pull my pants down, and I couldn't figure out, what's this man doing? But a lot of this stuff came out in the trial during the investigation. What he was after my keys to my truck.
Okay.
Because during the trial, it came out that he had robbed me once before.
Really? Wow.
My truck. And since then, I just thought maybe I'd misplaced the money, or I spent it, or I didn't know what I did with it. I even thought maybe Carmen had, you know, spent it or something. But
so he had actually gotten in your truck before without you knowing it and taken money that you didn't even realize had been stolen necessarily.
Yes. I didn't know where it went. I just thought, well, I must have misplaced it, or my wife needed it for something, or just, I didn't know. So I just shrugged it off. I don't, you know, whatever. And so since then, I started locking my doors. And what he had done, he had come over there to rob my truck again also, but he couldn't get in.
Oh, okay.
And so he came in and took me out of the picture, sort of.
Yeah.
And that's when he was going through my pant pockets. It felt like he was pulling my pants down.
Hmm.
He was looking for the keys. Well, he found them, and he went back out, left the building, went back outside, and opened my truck and went through it, trashed it up, trying to find money, which I don't keep in the truck anymore, for sure.
Yeah.
And now I guess I'm coming to a little, and I'm starting to stand up, like the way the officers, you know, the investigation, because I've got bloody handprints on the walls where I'm trying to stand up. And he comes back in and throws me up against the wall. He's a big guy. And screaming at me, and then he started whacking my back, and he broke my third vertebrae.
Oh, man.
In my back, so, and that's still pretty sore. It hurts, but I take a little bit of medication every day, and I can function.
So at this point, he still hasn't found the money, which is the whole reason he even did any of this.
No, he's mad now.
Oh, boy.
Because he couldn't find any money in my truck. So now he's going to beat it out of me. You know, when you're in so much pain, you know, you'll say anything, you'll do anything just to get the pain to quit.
Yeah.
And so I told him where it was, you know, the hiding place. That's about all I can actually remember. I've got a lot of space there that, you know, my brain was shut down. I just can't remember a lot of it. So.
Yeah. Let's do this, Ralph. I need to take a quick commercial break. If you'll come back and maybe tell us the aftermath now of what happened to you and then the recovery process and what happened to the guy that did all this. Is that okay if you stay around a little bit longer?
I can hang on, yeah.
All right. Thank you, Ralph. Hold on. More with the Andy Griffin Show after this.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back, 949 on KDXU. We're talking with Ralph Lee Sr., who was brutally assaulted 6 years ago, about 6 years and, a month ago, at his Lee's dry cleaning business. And Ralph, again, thanks for coming on today. I really appreciate it, man.
Oh, my pleasure.
Now, we talked a little bit about the attack, and so this guy attacks you and demands the money. You tell him where the money is. What happened next?
Well, apparently I must have passed out again because I found myself now laying on the floor and I'm coming to and this red stuff all over the place. And
yeah.
Really a bad smell if you ever smelled a lot of blood. But anyway, I couldn't walk. I tried to stand up again. I couldn't walk. So the way the blood was smeared on the cement floor, it looked like I had kind of pulled myself along from the bathroom into the front of the store where he had just trashed the whole store, you know, previously looking for the money. But after he found it, I guess he took off, but was hiding. anyway, I was able to reach up and grab the telephone, and I dialed 911.
Mm-hmm.
And the operator came on, and I was able to tell him that who I was and send an ambulance. I've been hurt, attacked. And then I can't say enough about the St. George Police Department. They're wonderful people. They were so good. I mean, I can't even remember dragging myself out of the bathroom up to the front of the store. And when I called 911, I can't remember that hardly.
Mm.
But they said that I had let them in the front door. I guess I reached up and turned the key and let the police in. And then the ambulance and everything came. The police were close by. They must have been, you know, maybe a block or two away.
So they got there quick.
Yeah, they were there real quick. And it's a good thing because the ambulance goes... I was bleeding out pretty fast, so anyway, they stopped the bleeding. They got me loaded up onto the, I don't know what they call it, a bed or whatever they do. They lift you up, put you in the ambulance,
mm-hmm.
gurney or whatever. Anyway, I don't then I must have passed out again because I don't remember them doing any MRIs or anything like that on me. But I must have told them where I lived, or they left it in my pocket and got my driver's license. I don't know, but anyway, they sent an officer over to my wife's, well, over to our home, and they were pounding on the door, and it's like 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And wakes her up. She peeks out the door, and, "What can I do for you, officer?" Says, "There's been an incident at the cleaners. You need to get to the emergency room right now."
Wow.
And so...
And Carmen said they didn't really tell her much else. Just get to the emergency room.
Yeah, Carmen asked him, "What's going on?" I said, "Ma'am, I can't tell you. You just got to get over there."
Wow.
So she got over there as quick as she could, you know, get her dress and stuff on and get over there. She says that she got there in time. I guess I'd gone through the x-rays or MRI. She got there in time to see my head where it was split open.
Wow.
She said that she was barely hanging on herself because looking at it made her faint. So.
Oh, my.
It was pretty gruesome. But.
So how long were you in the hospital after the incident? First of all, it's a miracle you're alive.
Yeah.
For the second time in your life, it's a miracle you're alive. You had an ATV accident before that, but and then you had the long process of recovery, which you're still going through it a little bit, I suppose.
Yeah, my back still hurts, but my head feels pretty good. The headaches have gone away, and it's healed. So I'm scarred up. If I ever went bald-headed, I'd have a lot of scars up there. But.
Wow.
Anyway, I was in ICU for quite a while. I don't know exactly how long. But anyway, then after I got out of the ICU, they sent me home. Well, no, they put me out on the floor, out on the hospital floor, until I was, I guess, well enough to go home. And then they sent me home, and they had the home health care people would come and check on me every day.
Wow.
See if I was, you know, could get up and dress myself and eat. And
yeah.
Had me draw pictures and things and do some math problems, I guess, to see if my head was working. Anyway, my brain kept bleeding for 2 months. They couldn't stop it.
Wow.
They said they couldn't operate on it because it'd probably kill me. Finally, it stopped by itself. My eye got knocked out or bulged out, my left eye, and it bled for quite a while. But it's kind of blurry now, but I can kind of see out of it.
Hmm. Unbelievable.
And I lost all my hearing in my left ear. So if I'm going, huh? Because I can't hear with the darn anymore. And in my back, he reminds me every day of what happened because,
wow.
I mean, I can't stoop over and tie my shoe anymore. I have to kneel down to tie it. But,
back in 2020, I think it was, when they finally got to sentencing this guy. They caught, there was a whole long story. We don't really have time for it all, but basically the community came together, raised a bunch of money, and you guys decided to put it toward a reward, which actually led to the capture and conviction of this guy. Stephen Gardner is his name. This is a quote from the judge at the sentencing. He said, "I can honestly say this is the most vicious, mean-spirited crime I think I have ever been involved in." Now, this Gardner guy actually came up for parole just recently, right?
Yeah, like a month ago. They denied it, which made me very happy, but...
So his technically his term is 1 to 25, which is like the mandatory term for the crime he committed. What, and then he served, what, so it's only been 4 years, and then he's up for parole. Now that doesn't mean he's getting out, right? I mean, you're up for parole, but the judge, the parole board then takes into account everything that's happened, right?
That's right. But they have to, I guess, let him go up for parole every few years.
Okay.
No, but it doesn't mean that he's going to get out. So
the evidence against the guy, he never admitted doing it. The evidence against him was overwhelming, including a match to the shoes in the, you know, the footprints in the blood match his shoes and everything. And there's no doubt in my mind. I don't know about you, Rob, but he's the guy. He did it.
Oh yeah, no doubt. I mean, forensic came down from Salt Lake and. And they proved it, that it was him. And his attorney wanted a second opinion, so they sent all the information to Las Vegas, and forensics down there went over everything, and they came up with the very same answer. So, and I'm grateful for the community, because I was still in ICU, and people were starting to send money in. And, you know, I never asked for a dime, but people just, out of their goodness of their heart in this community, sent a lot of money in, and my son and my daughter took the money and put it all together and gave it to the police department. And the police department put it on the radio that there would be a reward, anybody with the information to come forth.
So,
two of his buddies,
yeah,
squealed him out. So, and they told the same story like I'm telling, because he told them.
He bragged about it, yeah.
Yeah, he went around bragging about it. Yeah. He told the police the same story. So they're pretty well convinced it was him.
Well,
and during the trial, they had to get up and testify about it. You know, it was him, so...
Ralph, we're pretty much out of time. I did want to thank you for a couple things. Number one, for telling your story. I think a lot of people have heard about this story, but they didn't really know any details or too many details. And I appreciate you sharing those with us. And I wish you continued good health still recovering. Anybody that's been injured, and I was injured in a motorcycle accident, you think, okay, well, you get better. Well, actually, some injuries never really completely heal. And I know you're dealing with that. And the other thing is, thanks for hanging out with my wife and I, you and Carmen, during the cruise. That was a lot of fun out in Europe.
Yes, I didn't know you until then. And
yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
It really, really was. Well, I got to run, Ralph, out of time. Thank you so much again for your time, and we'll have to get together and have dinner soon, but not a two-hour one.
All right. Thank you, Andy.
All right. See you later. It is 9:59. We got to get to news. Thanks for listening.